Good morning. Traditions are not a terrible thing to have. My family has had many traditions over the years as I grew up in West Virginia, but a lot of the traditions weren't too good. I remember one tradition. We'd always go to Myrtle Beach with our extended family every year, every summer. It was most likely in July, but we would go and we would celebrate my birthday there at the beach. That was a tradition. Another tradition that I faced year after year was going to the beach and being badly sunburned or swimmer's ear. I'd always suffered on every beach trip. And that's why I personally do not like going to the beach. But one year we broke that tradition and we went to the Smokies. We got a cabin up in the Smoky Mountains. That was a great trip. I am more of a wilderness guy in a cabin, being able to go fish and just escape reality for a little while. But traditions are not bad. But when they do become a problem is when we make it into law. If you break this tradition, you're a bad person. That's when it becomes a problem. And sadly, many have brought traditions into the church. And these traditions overshadow God's law. That's a big no-no. That's a big problem. Because when traditions overshadow God's law, we see a church that is turning more worldly. And that's not a good thing. Christ dealt with the Pharisees on many occasions, dealing with their traditions that they followed more consistently than with God's law. And there are many traditions in the church that people hold higher than God's law, and we may not even recognize some of them. But there are places that let traditions overshadow. And one of the biggest problems with traditions, it causes us to lose focus on what's more important. We lose focus, and that is what the Pharisees have done. And so when we look at losing focus, in Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, we see some of these traditions that are not biblical, that are not scriptural. And Christ deals with it in the right way. So Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now, when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. So this doesn't seem bad, right? You know, of course, it's good to wash your hands before you eat or before you handle food. Obviously, you want to wash your hands. Germs spread through our hands by contact. But here's the problem. They found fault with what the disciples were doing. They were eating without washing their hands. Why is that a problem? It shouldn't be. They have lost focus. Now, if they were breaking a law of God, then yes, it's a problem. They are in sin, but they didn't wash their hands. They're eating without washing their hands. That's not God's law. And even we see here in this way the tradition of the elders. Sadly, I remember one congregation, I won't mention names, but there was this men's meeting. And I was fresh out of preaching school. Let me add that. All right, I'm still a young man in the game. And so what happened was I'm sitting in this chair in the corner and all these men, there was no room at the table. And one side wanted there to be letters from people who wanted to come and worship with them from the previous congregation. Here's the problem. They pull that from 2 Thessalonians. But what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, he doesn't say, you need a letter. We need a letter when we come to a congregation. It's not what Paul's saying. It's in question form in 2 Thessalonians. What they do is they pull that text and they say, we need to have people who come here and want to worship to have a letter. They make it into something they need to do, or they do not worship with us. Now, I remember one side, and they used the word tradition. That was my biggest problem. This was the tradition of the elders before us who put this in. They were more concerned with that tradition. But the other half said, we need to get rid of this letter because to a couple, a husband and wife, and I knew them when I was a kid. They lived right down the road from my parents. They were faithful members of the Lord's church all their life, since their childhood. I knew they were faithful. Why do they need a letter? Now, they said, we do like to sit down with them in a meeting and get to know them. I'm all for that. That's great. That's showing interest. But what happened was, there was a big argument. The men who were angry about it walked out. It caused division. That's what traditions do. And fresh out of school, they looked at me and said, what do you think? I'm thinking, oh boy, I'm in the middle of it. So I simply told them, are we to hold traditions of men over God's law? Because nowhere in Scripture does it say we need letters. Now, if you want to meet with them, if you want to get to know them, I'm all for that. That's great. Because what happened, that couple got offended and went to another congregation to worship. And so you had everything was fixed. They got rid of the letter. They would sit down with people. Everybody came together again, and it was all good. But at the same time, that's a big issue. When you have certain men who are to be leaders in the church holding tradition over God's law. And that's going on at a lot of places. Traditions are okay, but when they come into the church and they are overshadowing God's law, it's sin. We are not the church at that point when we allow traditions. And so with the Pharisees here, they found fault with the disciples because they did not wash their hands. And they held on to these traditions of the elders like it was the law of God, but it wasn't. But here is Christ's response to this in Mark chapter 7, verses 5 through 8. Verses 5 through 8 here. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? So here's their question to Christ. Why do they go against the tradition of the elders? Here's Christ's response. He answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He calls them hypocrites. He said, Isaiah prophesied of you. You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. They're taking this tradition of elders and teaching it like it's the commandment of God, and it's not. They're holding to empty traditions that do not compare to God's law. They're hypocrites. We know the Pharisees very well. They worshipped in vain. They would not hold to the law of Moses. But instead, they put all these traditions that people had to follow that they couldn't follow, they couldn't keep. And that's a big problem because it's sin. It's sin. And we know with sin, we are lost. We don't know the right thing to do because we are not looking at God's law and holding it true to our hearts. We honor him with our lips, but we don't honor him with our hearts. We don't follow him. We are not obedient. Paul dealt with traditions many times, especially, and I said early this morning in class, with the church in Rome. You know, the Jewish Christians, the Judeo-Christians, they still held to the law of Moses because of their Jewish background. And we see Paul deals with that in Acts today. But we see, is that a problem? No. As long as it doesn't overshadow Christ and what the apostles are preaching and teaching and telling them. But when it does overshadow, that's a problem. But we see with the Gentiles, they want them to eat meat. But the Judeo-Christians were afraid to eat the meat because it could have been offered to idols. So how does Paul deal with it? Don't make your brother go against their conscience. And so holding on to traditions can cause us to lose focus. In verses 9 through 13, he said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition." So he lays it all out here in verse 9. He lays it all out. You reject the commandment of God, that you may hold to your traditions. Keep your traditions. Going on, verse 10, "For Moses said, honor your father and your mother's mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death." Notice what he says in verse 11. "But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban," that is a gift to God, "then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do." Just one example right here. God says, honor your mother. The law of Moses says, honor your father and mother. If anybody curses mother or father, let them be put to death. But he says, but you say that if you give your parents, if you honor them, if you give them something, it is to be a Corban, a gift to God. Then they are to have nothing else to do with it. What are they doing? They're breaking the law of God. They're breaking the commandment of God. They're disobeying what he has commanded them to do. It's so important that we see this here, that they are holding these traditions as though it is the law of God. It's not. And so we have many traditions that, and I have heard of many churches bringing in these traditions of men, and you could say instruments. Yeah, plenty of places use instruments to worship. Where in Scripture do we see the church using instruments? We don't. Or they will say, we need to do the Lord's Supper once a year, do it on a special day. Where in Scripture do you see that you can do that? They're holding on to these traditions. And I will go with holidays. You know, holidays, if you want to celebrate holidays in your home, that's fine. But they are not to be in the church. They are not to be on a day of worship. That's a big problem today. We have gone away from the law of God, and now we are holding to traditions. Many places do, and at that point, it's sin. And so what do we need to do? Well, we need to understand that God's law is final. God's law has the authority. No adding and taking away. No adding in traditions that have no part to play in God's law. So God's word, God's law over traditions. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 through 35, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." What's Christ talking about here? The destruction of Jerusalem, which would happen in 70 AD. He would warn them, if you hear of rumors of war, and you see these things about to happen, flee. Get out of Jerusalem, right? And people who heed his words, we would see when 70 AD rolls around, they would get out before it would be destroyed. But once again, those who don't heed the words of Christ, they would perish along with Jerusalem. This is what happens when we hold to traditions, but we do not heed and obey God's words. Our souls are lost. Our souls are in danger of hell. And it's not God's fault. He has given us his word through his servants, through his apostles. We have all these letters. We know what the truth is. And to let traditions overshadow that, we will lose our souls. And many have. Christ's words will by no means pass away. We understand with the word of God, it will stand through anything. Through all the trials and storms, his words are final. It has all authority over our lives, not traditions. It's a bigger problem than we realize. In James chapter 1, verse 21, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Do traditions save you? Do they save your souls? They don't. The word of God compared to traditions, there is no measuring. It stands above all. It's so important that we see this. It's able to save our souls. It's able to pierce the bone and marrow. It pierces us. It helps us wake up, take off the blinders, and see the truth. But the traditions of men, these traditions put the blinders on. And we look at the Pharisees' lives. We see there's envy. We see there's wickedness. We see what they truly desire. They're comfortable with the way their life is. They don't want things to change. They don't want their positions to be diminished. When they saw Christ growing in followers, they were jealous. They were plotting for ways to kill him, to destroy him, because they were causing damage to their way of life. They loved power. They loved control. And that's what traditions do, especially when they are held over our heads as law. You know, when you look at families who have traditions that have been handed down over generations for 60 plus years, you don't want to let the tradition die, do you? But is it okay if it does die off, if the newer generations don't want to continue with the tradition? Sure, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong, but so many hate change, so many hate when this change occurs. To them, it's blasphemy. To them, it's dishonoring the past generations. You know, there's a tradition with Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? Thanksgiving, people have turkey or ham. Christmas, they'll have ham. We don't do that. My parents don't do that. My wife and I, we did on Thanksgiving, we'd had turkey and ham. Nothing wrong with that. Christmas, we had steaks. I like that tradition much better. But is it law? No. Because by the time Thanksgiving's over, I'm tired of turkey. I'm tired of ham. I want something different. There's nothing wrong with change. But at the same time, is change necessary? And will it lead us to the truth? Because with Colossians 2:8, our main text, but lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Philosophy. It's full of emptiness. These words these philosophers speak throughout the centuries, they're empty. There's no truth. Truth to them, it's what they think of truth. but it's full of empty deceit according to the tradition of men. That is what it's empty. It deceives many. These traditions, it deceives. You know, we have the five acts of worship. And we know, we see that through Scripture. We see that through the blueprint of the church. But what if we change some things up? We kept the five acts of worship, but we changed things up. Would that be bad? Would that be sin? No, as long as we're doing how we are to worship God's way, absolutely. Because when you look at the early church, they didn't have buildings like we have today. They went to each other's homes. Is there a problem with that? No. But what people do sometimes, and I've heard about this, I haven't looked too much into it, they turn it into, well, now we're not going to gather at this building that we are blessed to have. We're going to just split out and divide into these houses and have our own individual worships. That's a problem. We should be blessed to have the building we do and to come together as one body of Christ, right? To worship him. But they didn't necessarily do anything in any particular order. They would just worship. They would have prayer. They would. They didn't have hymn books. They would have chanted the Psalms, which would have been beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. But we see they still did it God's way. But this is a tradition. We do it a certain way each Sunday, every Sunday. Would people get mad if we maybe changed it up a little bit? There'd probably be a few. But as long as we're still doing it in spirit and in truth, is there anything wrong with it? Or has it become a tradition that must be followed? And I'm just bringing this up because we don't realize there are certain things that we do that can turn into traditions. Even the movie night and game night that we have, is it okay if we don't have it 1 month? Absolutely. But if it becomes a tradition and it overshadows God's law, would it be a problem? Yeah, it would be sin, wouldn't it? We started watching terrible movies that are not godly, that are not right, clean. Yeah, it's a problem. So, once again, my whole point here, we should not allow traditions to overshadow God's word. We shouldn't allow this philosophy, this empty deceit that's from traditions of men. Because we understand it's not according to Christ. It's not according to his word. We see with the apostles, they would teach people, lead them to Christ. And then even at one point, we see that Paul mentions, you need to follow the traditions that we have handed down. What are these traditions? Are they traditions of men or traditions of God? Well, when you look into it, it's tradition. It's the traditions of God that have been laid down. It's God's law, his word, because he speaks through his apostles, doesn't he? Just like he did with the prophets. Once again, these men were inspired, and what they were handing to the people was God's word, his truth. Not their own opinions, not their own traditions. We must understand clearly how important it is, lest anyone be deceived. Wolves in sheep clothing, false teachers will bring in. We look at the Jews. They were trying to pull people back under the law of Moses, which could not save us. They wanted to pull people back under not only the law of Moses, but their control, their power. That's what false teachers look for. They look for the control, the power. That's how you have cults, too, as well, that come from religion. We must be careful because it will cost us our souls. That's why it's so important that we are well grounded in God's word and not the traditions of men. That we uphold God's word and not the traditions of men. And so, do you hold traditions of men higher than God's law? Do you go by what man says or by what God says? It's important that we understand where our allegiance lies as the church and as Christians as a whole. Do we hold to God's word over traditions? For men in the world, they will take man's traditions to heart, but not God's word. And that's sin. You're lost. But when you take the blinders off and you see the truth, you understand there's only one way to obtain salvation. It is only through Jesus Christ, who came and died and rose again, giving us a way to obtain salvation. And it is only through Christ. It is only through him that we can obtain salvation, can obtain eternal life. So if you're not a Christian this morning, take the blinders off and understand that the words of men, the traditions of men, will deceive you and have deceived you. And lean on Christ. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word. Romans 10:17. That's the only way that we can believe, is to hear. And then we believe. John 3:16. For all those who believe in Christ, believe in his word, they know that Christ is who he says he was, the Messiah, the King of Kings. And then we must repent. We must repent, changing one's mind, coming forward with that godly sorrow, being sorry for what we have done, the sin that we lived in, and repenting of it. And then we must confess our faith in Christ, Romans 10:10. We must make that confession that Christ is the Messiah, that he is God's only Son, and that he is our Lord and Savior. And then we must be baptized for the remission of sins, being buried with him into his death, and being raised out of that water into a new life, as a new creation. Our sins are washed away by making contact with the blood of Christ. Galatians 3:26-27 and Acts 2:38. But then here's the important part. We must remain faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Because if we are not well grounded in truth, we can be pulled astray by the traditions of men. We can be pulled astray through false teaching. It's so important we remain faithful to God and his word, that we live for him each and every day. That's the hard part. And so if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, give your life to him. Don't continue to wait. Don't continue to fall for these traditions and for this deceit. Give your life to Christ. Or if you are a Christian and you have fallen back into your old ways, maybe you have found yourself being pulled astray. Well, now is the time to renew your walk with him, to come forward, to repent of your sins, and to begin anew your relationship with Christ and remaining faithful. So if you're here this morning, I pray and hope that you receive God's word with all gladness, and that you hold to it the rest of your days. If you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.